However, it only gets worse. Also, according to the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, climate change is irreversible over time frames that matter to us. What this means is the CO2 that's in the atmosphere today, 392 parts per million of it, is there for at least 1,000 years. CO2 is so recalcitrant in the atmosphere that it doesn't get taken out of the atmosphere for a very long period of time. In addition, if we just add one more molecule to that CO2, methane, we have the equivalent of 460 parts per million in the atmosphere right now. Most people think that civilization cannot persist long at more than 350 parts per million, and we've got the equivalent of 460 parts per million, and in fact, 392 parts per million for at least the next 1,000 years. United Nations Environment Program found that during 2008, the worst recession since we stopped calling them words that start with a D, because that was too depressing, the worst recession since the big one, global carbon emissions increased. We cannot just slow the economy to a crawl. We can't almost make it collapse and expect that to have any positive outcome in terms of climate change. Instead, what we have to do is terminate the industrial economy. As reported in the journal Climatic Change in November 2009, only complete economic collapse will prevent runaway climate change at this point. And it's no given. We may have crossed tipping points already beyond which we cannot go back. But I don't think we can act that way. I think we must act as if we can stop runaway greenhouse and therefore save habitat for humans and the many other species with which we share the planet. And the only way to do that is to terminate the industrial economy as quickly as possible. So, I'm all about hope. So on to the good news. I'm going to talk about various economic scenarios associated with energy decline, because that's the important thing. It's not just that we passed the world oil peak nearly 6 years ago, and that all energy is derived from crude oil. It's the economic impacts of expensive oil that matter here in terms of the industrial economy. A wonderful book by Reinhardt and Rogoff from 2009 studied 260 financial crises in 66 countries dating back 8 centuries, and every time the leaders, the corporate leaders, the politicians said, this time is different. We've learned so much from those previous collapses that this time is different. You hear it all the time today. It can't happen here. We're special. I think, in fact, this time is different. This time is not one of 66 countries. It's not one of 260 crises. This is the big one. This is the one that takes the entire industrial economy of the world down with it. It's already circling the drain. This time is different. French investment bank Société Générale concludes in November 2009 that their clients should prepare for global economic collapse within 2 years. This is one of 3 scenarios they gave to their clients. Well, if I'm doing the math right, that puts it right at November 2011, which is not very long from now. There are 70 names on this slide. Of the 70, there are a handful who do not put dates on their predictions. Of the 70, there is one, Nicole Foss, who predicts that we are in a massive deflationary spiral that will culminate by a little over 3 years from now in oil priced at $30 a barrel or less, gasoline at $1 a gallon or less, and none of us able to afford it or anything else. Think greatest depression. Most of the rest of these folks, most notably indicated by Gonzalo Lira, think that we're headed for hyperinflation instead. And with the exception of Nicole Foss, they all think we have less than a year and a half before the United States is done with its industrial economy. I'm a bit more conservative than these forecasters in that for 4 years now, I'm predicting until we have the end of 2012, before the lights go out in this particular empire. So what's driving this? What's driving this is energy decline. M. King Hubbert, in 1956, described a bell-shaped curve, shown here with the blue line, to describe discovery and extraction of finite materials. He first published on the subject using uranium as an example. He first presented on the subject in 1956 using oil as an example. He was a petroleum geologist for Shell Oil Company. It's 1956, and he predicts at that time that the United States will reach peak extraction of oil in 1970. The data are shown with the dots. He nailed it to the year, 14 years in advance. He underestimated how much oil was available. Peak extraction is right there. He estimated here. But he got the year exactly right, 14 years in advance. At the time, he predicted that world oil would reach its peak in about a half a century. This is 1956. That would make it 2006. The International Energy Agency, 2 months ago, reported that oil peaked in 2006. Most people who follow the subject find, based on the data that are available and the models that are available, that oil actually peaked in 2005. But plus or minus a year, Hubbert 50 years in advance, we'll give him that one, I think.
Are you talking about conventional oil?
Yes.
Okay, so you're not talking about synthetics and other kinds.
That's right. This is crude oil. This is crude plus condensates. So this is conventional oil. The other oils, such as tar sands, ethanol, and all those other liquid natural gas, liquefied coal, and a variety of other things, account for about 15% additional besides this. And those peaked in 2008, although data came out just 3 days ago suggesting that we may have hit a new all-time peak in total global liquids. It's within the margin of error with 2008, so it's very close. We probably peaked on those in 2008, and they really don't matter anyway, because they're a relatively small fraction, and the industrial economy does not respond to them. The industrial economy responds to the price of crude oil. If we look a little closer at the data underlying Hubbert's curve, we can see U.S. oil production, which I prefer to call extraction, because the U.S. is not producing this oil. It's there. We're just extracting it. We see that after the 1970 peak, right here, slight decline, and then in 1973, OPEC was formed to exert political influence over the United States, and that's when a whole bunch of my neighbors went back to the land, thinking that the industrial economy of the United States was over then, because we had a series of recessions associated with that peak in U.S. supply and the associated political action by the OPEC countries. So we did two things. We took two political actions. We drilled for oil where we could find it. This is Alaska, a secondary peak, never passing the original peak from the continental United States, but there was a lot of oil there in Alaska. And we implemented the Carter Doctrine. The Carter Doctrine, Carter was the last decent man in the Oval Office, in my opinion. And the Carter Doctrine is, with respect to the Middle East, that's our oil over there. So we started exercising the two political actions we could take. We drilled where we could find it, and we went to war to get oil. And we've been continuing that. Meantime, U.S. extraction has declined, so we've had to import an increasing amount of oil, as shown with the blue curve in the panel on the right, so that now we're about 70% of our oil coming from foreign sources. Our number two supplier is Mexico. Their extraction curve is shown on the right through 2009. Through 2010, it drops lower than any of the figures shown there. Data just came out last week, dropped below the level from 1995. Mexico is our number two supplier. They're in free fall. This is what happens when what was once the world's second largest oil field, Cantarell, goes into decline. Use technology to extend the curve into a plateau, and that's what we're doing at the world level. But then when the decline comes, the decline rate is much faster than it otherwise would have been had we not pumped a bunch of heat and salt water into those fields. So our number two supplier after Canada, Saudi Arabia, slipped to number four because they peaked in 2005, coincident with the world peak, is in free fall. I seriously doubt we'll be getting any imported oil from Mexico within a couple of years. Even if the industrial economy does hold together, they just don't have it anymore.